No, I'm certainly grateful tonight that the God of the day is still God in the night. You know, He doesn't change. You think about it, how many times since I've been here, I've said, people are fickle, but God's not. You know, we have a tendency to change our minds at the drop of a hat, but God doesn't. We want to do a Bible study tonight, and actually had planned on doing this Wednesday night and did it, and then thought we would do it this morning. And we did it on the way down. The Lord gave us a different thought. And so this afternoon I thought, well, maybe God's saving this for this Wednesday night again. But just couldn't seem to find anything tonight. And then also, I'll tell you this. I started to study. And you ever been in that way? You start to read your Bible and your eyes get real heavy. Uh-huh. I mean, just kind of like. So, and I know the devil, he's just like, well, just don't do anything. But you know what? I'll do something because I know God would have me to do something. And so I've got all this laid out before me tonight. And want to talk about false. Now, we know all about false, right? False means not true. And who's the false accuser, the Bible says? That's the devil. He's the false accuser of the brethren. And I didn't look up that a word, but we did look up false prophet, and so we're going to look at these this evening. If you got your Bibles, go with us to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. This evening we'll be looking here for just a few moments. Father, tonight we pray that your will would be done and your name be glorified as we go forth, dear Lord, tonight to look at thy word and what it means to our hearts and our lives. And we just pray, Father, tonight, help us, Lord, unworthy as we are, be that which we need to be for these that are here, for those who may attend online, but more importantly, dear God, for you. And we'll thank you, Father, and we'll praise you, Father, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. I've got several verses. We're going to look at these as they go. So verse 15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Now, we all know this tonight. This is real simple, right? These are those who would come, tell you a lie, and they do so basically so that they can consume themselves, whatever it is that they have. And I know this, it's kind of like this. If I was to come to you and tell you that I had this great stock, and I wanted you to buy this stock, and I gave you all this information. I built it all up. I mean, I did everything that I could. And in the end, you went ahead and you bought, let's just say, 100 shares of that stock. We won't put a big price tag on it. We'll just say $1 a share. In the end, whenever it's all said and done, that stock was worth a penny a share. Now, just think, how would you feel about me? I mean, after all, I got $100, right? And what did you get out of that? One. Folks, that's what the Bible is trying to tell us. We don't understand that a lot of times. We can't comprehend that in the spiritual side of it. But he's telling us to beware of those who are come to tell us a lie in the things that are spiritual. But the only reason they're doing what they're doing is because they seek to desire to consume you spiritually. They're trying to mislead you. They're trying to destroy you. And so he says, and you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So they got a sweet talk, but they got nothing to back it up with. They're false prophets. And then we go over to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. And like I said, we won't spend a long focusing on a lot of it, but just looking at it in this. And then he says, and we'll back up in verse 8. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He just listed off a bunch of things that were going to take place before the coming of the Lord. He said, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and to kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, you and I look at this tonight and just think about it. You know, he goes on later on. He says, when they say I'm over here, don't go over there. When they say I'm out there, don't go over there. He said, don't worry about it. Why? Because the next time we see Jesus, the Bible's done told us, we will see him coming in the clouds. If you read your scriptures, you'll find out Jesus is not going to show up in the desert place. He's not going to show up in the wilderness. He's not going to show up down at the river. He's not going to show up up on the mountain. He will show up in the clouds of glory. Go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And don't go over there, but you go over there tonight and you can read that. So false prophets are going to rise, and they're going to try to deceive many. And the Bible says that men will listen to them rather than listening to the truth. And I'll tell you tonight for a fact, church, that the truth that we have is written out for us so easily if we'll just take time to read this. Me and Brother Don was talking Monday evening, I believe it was, for just a few minutes about the scriptures we had used on Sunday, and we got to talking about people and why they do the things they do and why they listen and why, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me why somebody would listen to a false prophet other than the fact of this: they've not read this. They've not read the Word. They've not prayed about it. They've not searched it out. And so they get caught up listening to somebody who's telling them kind of, I guess you might say this, the things they want to hear, not the things they need to hear. And here's the truth. You and I, without Christ, are condemned. We're doomed. We're undone. We're lost. Jesus told them plainly. He said in John chapter 3, and I'll read that to you there, because I love quoting verse 16, but look, we've got to read verses 17 and 18 to see the truth of the matter and what he's saying there. He said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You don't have to wait till judgment time to find out that you're condemned. You're condemned already because you what? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the false prophet don't tell you that. He just tells you, hey, everything's good. It's all right. Just keep on going. Do what you want to do. Be where you want to go. Well, all these different things. But he doesn't tell you. You've got to believe. You've got to be saved. You've got to repent of your sin. In verse 24, in the same chapter of Matthew 24, it says, "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." It's not just going to be some obscureness over here, but there's going to be things done in the last days and the times before the coming of Christ. There's going to be things that if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect of God. Now think about that, church. It's not some simplicity. You've got to know your scriptures. You've got to understand what he's saying there. The book of Mark in the 13th chapter. Excuse me. Again, he addresses the same issues. He goes through the same things. And he's talking again here. It's kind of a repeat of what was in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And he says, "And then men shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there he is." Verse 21. "Believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shew signs and wonders to seduce, and if it were possible, even the elect." It's going to be one of those deals. They're going to do their best to take us away from Christ, take us away from the truth that we know in the Word of God. And again, I say, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I talked about, you know, understanding the Old Testament from the New Testament, understanding the old law from the new law, which is not a new law, but it's a new covenant. The old covenant and the new covenant. Understanding those things there, but also understanding what the Bible has to say about Jesus, who he is and what he's done, where he'll be. Understanding what your life and my life is supposed to be like as we go through life. So he said, they'll show great signs and wonders again, and they'll do everything they can to deceive. But in Mark or Luke chapter 6, going down here, reading a few of these, and we'll start back here in verse 20. "And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are they which weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in the day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. In like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye receive your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did your fathers to the false prophets. Now just think about it. Butter you up. One of these days, it's just not going to work the way that we think that it's going to work in a lot of ways, or a lot of things that people think it's going to work in. Instead, it's going to turn out just to be what God has said and what Christ has said that it was going to be. And you go over to the book of 2 Peter into the second chapter. This one starts right off here, doesn't take very much time to get into it, right? He said in verse 1, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto others that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment, to be punished." Now look at that. Why does all of this come to place? Because there's false prophets that will be listened to. "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." You and I do not need to listen to what thus saith the word of God and hold to that and that only, so that we'll know how to live our lives in the proper and right way. And then in 1 John chapter 4, again, looking at false prophets here. In verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because false prophets are gone out into the world." Now just understand, false prophets have gone out into the world. John was telling them all this at this time. Just imagine, and I'm not going to say that it had to be worse now than then, but just imagine what was going on then, and just imagine what's going on now. I mean, tell you, there's a lot of false people out there. There's not a prophecy needs to be told that's not been told in the Word of God that we need to understand, that we need to know about. And I'll just say this. The Bible says, despise not prophesying, right? Which is the preaching of the Word. What can I tell you tonight that you would not find already established in the Word of God? Is there anything that I could tell you that surprised you that would be of God and not of myself? I mean, just think about that for a second. We don't need any additional prophecies. We need to look at the ones that have already been spoken. We need to pay attention to what thus saith the Word of God. If God wanted some new prophecy revealed, He'd had it written in the Word, and you'd go through there and you'd find it. But God is not looking for that. Instead, God is trying to tell us, beware of those who come and tell you, "I got another gospel. There's really another Jesus." Or, "Jesus never left in the first place. He's still here." Or, "Jesus was not the Son of God. He was just a good man." You think about all the teachings that are going on today and how they really try to bring down the power of the Word of God in the meaning of the Word of God into trying to destroy who Jesus is. It's not Jesus that ordained those things. That's man. Then we find, they're false prophet. And so he said there would be many false prophets. There's a lot of those that would be many false prophets. But in Acts chapter 13, look at this one for just a minute tonight. A false prophet was talked here And I'll just say this. People may get on to me, but I think it's not very hard to look at. But anybody who tries to tell you another Jesus or another gospel, in my opinion, is a false prophet. It doesn't take long to see it. Acts chapter 13. It said, "Now there were in the church," verse 1, "that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mananine, and I'm not good with names, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues unto the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through on the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, or Bar-Joas, depending on what you want to say, but Bar-Jesus. And he was a false prophet. They found somebody, which was with the deputy of the county, and I won't try to produce a prudent man, who was called Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. Now, why was he a false prophet? Well, he was a sorcerer, for one. Now, think about that. He's talking about things that don't need to be talked about. He's pretending to do things that he shouldn't do. He's casting spells and relieving spells. He's doing whatever he can to get the people's attention. Do you realize tonight that that's one of the, I'd say this, one of the big signs you could look at? If they do whatever it takes to get people's attention, aside from the truth, they're probably going to tell you a lie. I mean, you just think about how a salesman slick and shiny shows up. And I don't want to throw every car salesman under the bus. But you know, we met a guy one time, and he represented his car really, 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 really good. Really good. And we found out that that vehicle had been wrecked. I mean, the whole front end had been replaced. And we still liked it. We thought it was nice and good and everything. But, you know, his car was so good. And yet the car I was driving and drove for a few years after that was so bad that when I made the offer to him, he called me dumb. I mean, he said, "What are you, stupid?" And I thought to myself, well, I'm pretty smart because you're not getting my business. And that was the end of the conversation we had there. But it didn't end the conversation that was had because, see, I called his manager and I told him what was going on. And I told him that I don't come to a car lot to be called stupid. And those were his little words. It's odd to say this, you know, be careful. When somebody's shining you up or shining something up really, really well, it might not be all it's cut out to be. Just think about it. Because I'm not going to tell you Jesus is all love and no wrath. Because my Bible tells me that God is God of love, but He is also a God of wrath. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, but when He looked at those who were spreading the lies and the end, He called them serpents and vipers. Now just think about it, vipers. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 tells us all about, in the book of Revelation, talks about false prophets. And we know that the false prophet is going to arise and is going to try, like I said, to deceive as many as possible. We know who he comes from. He comes from the devil. But church, listen to me tonight. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. In chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink." Excuse me. 16 and 13. I thought, boy, that didn't say false right there. And he said, "And he gathered them together into the place called the Hebrew tongue." I turn too many chapters. Folks, I may not need to read this one tonight. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their forehead." I'm still not where I need to be.
All right. All right. I got it right tonight. My dyslexic. My wife knows what I'm talking about. I can't read forward, backwards, sideways, or down, right? Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. I got chapter 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now I'll tell you something. You see frogs and unclean spirits come out of something, you might as well get away from there, should you not? I mean, tell you, somebody starts spitting frogs out, I'm gone. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But look, you saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out. Church, just think about this. How many people get amazed at things that ought not be? Just think about that for just a second. Something that you would look at that in normal life and you'd say, that ain't right. But the next thing you know, you're sitting there continuing to watch it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do things that when we would normally think in our right mind, that's not right. I'm out of here. It catches an amazement. People start watching, start paying attention. Next thing you know, they start to tickle their ears. They start to appeal to them. And the next thing you know, there you go, church. They've got you. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing, going places you shouldn't go, thinking things you shouldn't think. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, it said, "And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." I'm just telling you tonight, don't follow after the false prophet. He's not leading you to a good place. The end is not going to be well with the false prophet. In chapter 20 and verse 10, he said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." Now, I'm telling you something. They got gone, then the devil goes too, right? And the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And again, like I said this morning, we cannot comprehend eternity. We see our lives changing every day. We see birth and we see death all the time around us. We don't comprehend forever and ever. But there is a forever and ever. It's all eternity. It's either in heaven or in hell. It's one of those two places. I want to be in heaven. And Jesus made it possible for me. And then the next thing I thought about this, why are there false prophets? Why are the false prophet talking about? Because the devil wants to deceive us. He wants us to think that he's right and God's wrong. Because the devil wants to be like God. And so three verses I want us to look at tonight about this. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, I've used this scripture a bunch, but Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. Let's start at verse 12, actually. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the isles of the north, or sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now think about this, and I thought about this time or two. The devil knows he can't be God, but he wants to be like God. He wants to take the place of God in your life and my life. He wants to sit in the throne room of our heart. He wants to be exalted above that which he ought to be. And I'll say this, don't fool yourself. He's not a weakling to be cowered down in the corner just because you looked at him cross-eyed. You can't stomp your foot at the devil and make him run, but the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Why? If we've humbled ourselves under the Lord. I mean, if we stand steadfast in Jesus Christ, those things. But just think about it this way tonight. He's not afraid of you. He's afraid of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read starting in verse 1. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or with all that is worshipped. So he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now think about it very carefully. He as God, he wants to be like God, right? And he'll sit in the temple and he'll show himself there in the seat of God. And he'll show himself to be God, but he won't be God. He'll be a false God. He'll be Antichrist. He's the son of perdition. I guess you could say he'd be the devil's right hand as best as possible. But he's not going to be God. There's only one God. He sits and rules and reigns in heaven. And by the way, Jesus is coming back, not God. Now think about that. And I know Jesus is God. Look at your Bible. He's God in the flesh. If you look at all the scriptures there, it puts you out there. I and my Father are one. He's God. John says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Matthew tells us, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, God with us. We know that he's God in this aspect. He's one part of the three parts of the Trinity of God. We understand that, but when we look at it and we read the scripture, God passed by so that no man can look on the face of God and live. God passed by, but Moses had his face toward the rock. He was allowed to see the shadow of God, and the Bible says his hinder part, but he was not being able to look on God. So if God sits in the temple, who gets to go in the temple? Think about it. God's got this all worked out, church. It's all in there just the right way. And then the next place we find this is in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, and I use this one a lot. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll close with this one. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant," verse 8, "because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion." Now who is Jesus? He's the Lion of Judah. And the Bible says that he roars like a lion, not as, but like. He's different. Jesus is totally different. So he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that were in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Aren't you glad when you look at this, we find this, that he says, just go ahead. If he's roaring, he's roaring as a lion. You know he's not a lion. He's not the Lion of Judah. He's not Jesus. He's not God. You know that. So just resist him, but do it so in faith in Christ Jesus. And I'm glad verse 10 is written the way that it is. "But the God of all grace," I trust in the God of grace, "who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus," which I'm glad through Christ I get to go to be with him in heaven, right? "But he said, after ye have suffered a while," aren't you glad it's just temporary? But you don't have to suffer a little bit, a little while. And I know sometimes we feel like we're suffering more than we can handle, but the truth of the matter is this. The Bible's done promise that God has not going to put anything more upon us than what we're able to bear with him helping us. So I'm thankful for that tonight. The only other scripture I had was over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. And this was one time in the whole Bible where it said false apostles. And I'll just say this. When God talks through the Bible, there's some people say, "Well, I'm not a prophet." And so I'm not a false prophet. Instead, they'll say, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. I'm a disciple. I'm an apostle. Well, all of us, I guess you could say we're disciples and that we should be learning all that we know about Jesus. But I'll say this tonight. I'm not an apostle. I'm just a born-again believer in Jesus Christ who God's called to preach the gospel and live amongst people and do my best to show them Jesus. But there are false apostles, which he said, false teachers and false preachers, and there's a lot of liars in the world, but if they'll direct you through the Word of God, not twist the Word of God, but only honestly show you the Word of God, church, cling on and hold on to that, believe and follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles," and you can go backward there. It says, as in verse 10, he says, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth." He's talking about that he loves him. He's going to tell him the truth. "But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They're going about doing things. He said, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their own works." Don't be marveled that these things happen. As Christ has those who will love, serve, honor, and glorify him, the devil has the same. Just think about it. I gave you some things tonight that you ought to think about. And I didn't start off with this, but I'm going to end with this. The perfect number of God is 7, right? God's complete number. By the way, false prophets is found 7 times in scriptures. Remember what we read? The devil likes to appear as something he's not. But it's God who says, "Listen, here they are. They're false. They're not mine. They're Satan's. They're not what I want." We also know the number 4 is the number of gospel. We read that. Guess what? The word false prophet is found 4 times in Scripture. The devil has his own false gospel that he wants to tell. What did he tell Eve? "Thou shalt surely not die. For God knoweth in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods." Think about that. What happened to Adam and Eve? They're dead. No, they didn't die right then, other than the spiritual death that took place. But Adam and Eve are dead. And you say, "Well, Brother Ernie, they're alive in Christ. Listen to me. They would have lived forever in the body they had they ate of the tree of life. Instead, they ate of the tree of knowledge that God told them not to eat, because the devil, he's got away with words, said, "You shall surely not die." But they did. And so we know that he likes to distort the gospel. And he's got those out there who distort the gospel for him and with him. And then, when I said this, Satan wants to be like God. And that is true. And I'll say, I don't know. I'm sure there may be other places in the Bible that I could have found. But in this, it was amazing to me that God showed me 3 different scriptures that he claimed to be like God in the Bible. What do we know again? 1 John 5:7. "There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one." So you have the false Christ, the false prophet, the false prophet, and then you have the false apostles. 3 different things you'll find there that are false. So tonight, church, just simplistically, beware of that which is false, hold to that which is true, and you'll be a lot better off for it in the end. Guaranteed. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. Father, we thank you again this evening, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house and for each one who's here. God, we pray tonight that your will is done in our lives and the lives of those around about us, Lord. We pray, help us, Father, be a witness and a testimony to them, dear God, we ask. Give us the strength, Father, and the guidance.